You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Hark, lonely traveler, I call you to adventure. So pick up your dice, roll it, and welcome to Amazon Prime's The Legend of Vox Machina, brought to you by Critical Role, a animated series based on a bunch of friends playing Dungeons & Dragons, their characters brought to life through animation, and we get to watch all their wacky adventures.
As the cast and crew would always describe it, it's a bunch of nerdy-ass voice actors playing Dungeons & Dragons.
A very lovely cast of people here. We have twins, Vex and Vex, Keyleth, some kind of elf. I'm so bad with these descriptions. I'm going to have to pass this off. There you go.
The primary cast is, as you said, Vex and Vax are two of the most well-known ones. Laura Bailey plays Vexalia or Vex. Vax is played by Liam O'Brien. They are a pair of twin half-elves who basically are estranged from their family and elf royalty. Taliesin Jaffe as Percival Percy Frederickstein von Musel Kowalski de Rollo III. No, I had no practice about that back in the day. Don't worry. He is a human artificer, I believe, generally in D&D terms, but basically he's got a pistol. He's a gunslinger. He's a mixture of artificer and another class that Matt Mercer crafted for. Honestly, if you care this much about D&D, you know what I'm talking about, so I'm not going to elaborate that more. And if you don't, watch the show. It's fun. Ashley Johnson plays Pike Trickfoot, who is a gnome cleric, basically a holy woman who's their healer. Marisha Ray plays Keyleth, who is an Air Ashari druid from that Air Ashari tribe, basically a kind of nomadic tribe of druids and a half-elf. Sam Regal, Scanlan Shorthalt, is their gnome bard, sex symbol, wannabe sex symbol, good times. Travis Willingham plays Grog Strongjaw, their Goliath barbarian, big, strong, tough guy, dumb as a rock, loves to drink, good time. And appearing as multiple characters here is their legendary in the roles of D&D, Matthew Mercer, who plays many characters, including the main villain, Lord Silas Briarwood, and has a great time with that. I think that'll get you ball rolling for most of your D&D knowledge you need for that.
Excellent, sir. So we have this group of companions that are kind of in a rut. They're not even sure why they hang out together other than it's kind of a fun time. But what about their inner quest and their outer quest? What about the call to adventure? Are they just drunks who are kind of violent with people who step to them? Or is there a bigger calling out there for them? That's what kicks off this show. I absolutely loved it. Best Dungeons & Dragons story I have ever seen. What did you guys think, though?
I didn't know what to expect, and I don't. It sounds like Ben, you know more about Vox Machina than any of us. But like, I had never watched their show. I've watched D&D campaigns online before. The closest thing I've ever come to something like this would be Harmon Quest.
Let's quest. I've seen it.
I kind of was thinking this was going to be like that, because in Harmon Quest they do a live D&D campaign and then they animate over the story that they create, whereas this was more of a obviously curated, written, you know, big budget Amazon studio thing. But I liked it. I I've only been playing Dungeons and Dragons for maybe 6 years. But I'm a huge fan of how in-depth you can get with these characters. Like, if I would have known Dungeons & Dragons could have been like this when I was younger, I would have gotten into it a long time ago.
You have just heard our good friend Chad whose magical bard powers always go up to 11. With us as well is Tessa, plus 5 against every troll, cave or otherwise.
Or internet.
Or internet, beautiful. And the only paladin I know that's capable of wearing the helm of disintegration, Ben is with us.
Evidently, I also pass all the lore checks.
Sweet, sweet lore.
So what I loved about this the most, there's two quests in it. The first quest seemed more like kind of a story arc that would have dragged out 10 episodes. But no, it finishes rather quickly.
It didn't drag it out. Sorry.
It's on a very minuscule scale.
Yeah, the second one, I was kind of like, oh, ho-hum, so it's this type of story. Yes, yes, Castlevania was popular on Netflix. Do your best then, Amazon Prime. I enjoyed this way better than Castlevania after I got over myself. But it is a undead quest, I'll say. What I loved about this, though, wasn't so much the journey, but it was the destination and the friends they made along the way. How'd y'all feel about these characters and this adventure?
I had started listening to some of Critical Role, but I didn't get like super deep into it, as I have like 7 years worth to catch up on, which is a little bit daunting. So this was like a nice introduction for some new or longtime fans of the Twitch stream and podcast. I felt like this was really well done. And like you said, it was a bit more involved and curated than, say, like Harmon Quest, which was kind of more like drunk history, if you will. Like the person says a thing and they just animate it, you know, right there.
Into
and they don't
existence.
Edit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But with this, the animation style I really liked. It kind of reminded me of Legend of Korra. What studio did this? Does anybody know?
Titmouse. Titmouse.
Chirp.
I gotta agree. As I said, I mean, I probably kind of know the most of this. I was big into D&D just before Critical Role really came out, and I was big into Twitch. So when this thing, we were like, yeah, have you watched this D&D thing with all these voice actors in it? And I was like, no, tell me more. And I joined just before this main Whitestone campaign, part of the campaign. Basically, for anyone who doesn't know much about Critical Role, was these were just a bunch of friends that were all like, hey, we've all voice acted together. We started this at a friend's birthday party. And we're like, this is fun. We should do this more. And they started this whole campaign. I believe the first story that Bradley was talking about is, I don't even know if that's on the show or on the web series. I think they might just talk about it. And like the web series picked up shortly after that. And this Whitestone stuff, technically, they condensed a lot of their lore to get to this. Because I think, I didn't watch all of the first season or the Vox Machina season of Critical Role, but this is one of the best parts of that season that I watched and that I've heard from everyone. It's just, it's such a good one. Like, as Bradley said, it's not like, you know, it's D&D traditional fighting a dark force and an undead and evil and vampiric force type of thing, but just really they add so much heart to it. I mean, part of it is just, you know, these people, like, they love being nerdy and getting deep into the characters they always played as voice actors. So when it came to D&D, they're like, well, yeah, I've got to write a backstory. I got to know the backstory of the character I'm performing. And that's exactly what you need for D&D. And just happens to be that Matt Mercer, who created this whole universe for them, is a really, really, really good dungeon master. Not just in character creation, but in being able to, or, you know, NPC playing and voice acting. But he just can draw together so many side stories to make a bigger story that really has wowed people for a while. And it's no wonder they were able to put this together into a great storyline for a show, even scripted.
And I'm not surprised to hear that at all. These voice actors are all top of their craft, brilliant. What surprised me from the get-go is during their battles, we have Keyleth, kind of a healer. Their urgency when someone's hurt really startled me at first. Like, I am hearing an anxiety from these characters that they think, if I don't do something, my friends are going to die. And I haven't heard that in a lot of animations that I watch. So I was like, oh no, there's so much life bursting from all of these characters. Scanlan, who isn't a coward, I thought he would be, just based on, you know, the short guy who walks tall. He can fear for his life and yet be courageous, almost in a defiant way because of how small he is. And then you have Grog, who you said kind of a meathead, kind of muscle brained,
lovable,
but he drops like little tidbits of wisdom just off the cuff. And in ways that are expressing almost that you would call common sense that we all forget when we're wrapped up in the grand scheme of things. Love that character as well. And the twins, oh my gosh, just brilliant work by Laura Bailey and Liam O'Brien. They're sexy, they're confident, but they're vulnerable somehow. It's crazy good voice acting. Anybody listening to this who wants to be a voice actor, you owe it to yourself to watch this show and take notes. I've gone on about these characters too long now. What do you all think?
I agree. And just to pile on what you already set up, I think if this would have been something where, okay, they just take all these voice actors that, you know, Critical Role is not a thing, and we, you know, hire Chris Pratt and, you know, other people to fill these roles, I don't think it would have been as fun. It would have just been a normal animated what's a who's it's with big name celebrities. And I definitely think there's something to say about really good voice actors giving us, you know, AAA content that we love, but without the huge price tag of them being super famous.
Yeah, I was really stoked to hear a familiar voice with Ashley Johnson, who is in Last of Us, was Ellie. And I think that's why, like, there's a point where Pike has to go away for a bit. I'm wondering if, like, during their actual, like, live campaign, like, she had to go off to go work on Last of Us 1 or 2.
I can answer these things. Ashley Johnson actually had to step away many times because she has maybe the most burgeoning live action career out of any of them. And at the time, I believe she was a main character on Blindspot, but that filmed in New York. So she had to miss many campaigns. And actually, when she comes in kind of through astral projection in the series later on, she was calling in through video phone to the show. And they're like, oh my God, we got Ashley. Ashley, you have to be here for the end of the campaign. I swear to God. Like, it was like the most nerdy, like, best friend moment on the series, which is kind of why I love the series. But yeah, I know some of the lore.
Oh my gosh, the video call actually being worked into the script of this show just clicked for me. Yeah, that's amazing.
I got to say, I mean, the voice actor talent, I mean, I think the other biggest one that everyone would know would be Laura Bailey, who has been in damn near everything as well and is just phenomenal. And actually, fun bit of, like, lore for everyone else is Laura Bailey and Travis Willingham are actually married. And, like, this is Travis's first campaign that he was ever in was Critical Role. And, yeah, it's just the other thing that's worth noting is the other side characters, the other, as people would say, the NPCs in the actual campaign, played by everyone else. It's amazing to hear them played by other people because Matthew Mercer has to play every one of those characters as the Dungeon Master. And two, Matthew Mercer is an amazing, amazing voice actor. You might know him as McCree from Overwatch and many, many other things. But like to hear his characters played by other people, so wonderful. You get great cameos here by, I mean, you know, anyone from David Tennant shows up in the first episode to other amazing voice actors like Darren DePaul, who is a fellow Overwatch actor, as most people would know him as Reinhardt there, but he does so many other things. I loved every NPC in this, including there's one guard who keeps showing up in the main city. My brain just blinked on the name, but who looks just like Matthew Mercer. He's the guy with kind of the hair curtains on the side of his head. And they just made one look like Matt Mercer just to make it a joke so Matt has to show up in the show repeatedly.
I like they had Rory McCain, the Hound from Game of Thrones, and his character ended up getting burnt a little bit, and I was like, nice shout out to his one of the characters that made him famous. I was waiting for that guy to say yarp at some point, but yeah, they had Stephanie Beatrice did a little cameo as Lady Kima Vord, so Rosa from Brooklyn Nine-Nine was on there.
Gina Torres,
yes,
from Firefly.
Yeah, Gina Torres was on there. I recognized her voice. Stephen Root from Barry as Professor Anders. I was just like, oh my God, so many familiar voices.
Dominic Monaghan's in there. Yeah, I mean, look, there's things that bigger fans of the series that like really are just going to be like those, you know, those as everyone in D&D would say, like the rules lawyer, like lore nerd, just be like, well, you didn't do X, this, and this is so good in the campaign. Like, there's a thing that I remember is like, didn't Grog have a beard by this point? And that's an important thing because D&D nerd, you can't grow a beard as a Goliath. He had to find a belt of dwarven kind to grow a beard. I'm like, please don't be that nerd that goes, well, this show sucked. Look what they forgot to put in. He's supposed to have a beard now. Clearly they were written by other people. Amazon stole the show. It's like, nope. Watch the show. Open your mind for a different interpretation of some of the things. Because some things do change. Some things get sped up that I thought were great for the character.
Before we get to final thoughts, I do want to address the humor is filthy and lighthearted, but sometimes very wet.
Not for kids.
I'll just call it. And the violence.
Oh, God.
Same. Filthy, wet, squishy. Like, oh, and the characters. I love how they react to the violence. One guy was like, oh, shit! When someone gets cut in half, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a real reaction. I relate to that guy. That's how I feel watching this. So how'd you guys feel about that? Too much? Not enough? Or how'd you feel about it?
I think that's why it still felt like a D&D campaign, because that's how, I mean, I know some people like really get into their characters, but I know when I play D&D, I kind of will base my character on how I would react to stuff. So having a moment where someone's like, oh shit. Like, that just makes it better.
It's part of the show where it's like, Grog and Scandler are supposed to be like the best of friends who, as they joke about, they go drinking and whoring together. Like, they're exactly those people that, like, they love the murder and stuff. They kind of downplayed Scanlan's combat effectiveness a bit because it fits the character for the narrative. But, like, yeah, the love of violence is an important thing. I mean, that's a big, that's one character's particular arc, including that there's like, no, you can love the violence. That's a thing. That's important. There's clearly nudity. Like, it's not just filthy, like they talk about it. It's that there. But they also get the jokes right. Like, there's a bit at the beginning when they're talking about at the council, like, why would we bring Vox Machina? It's like, well, the murder hobos were already killed. And murder hobos is just like the biggest running D&D joke that if your campaign is just a bunch of people that love to go out and kill every monster and kill everything and everybody, you're the murder hobos. That's all your D&D campaign is.
The joke at the beginning of all the different groups of adventurers that have died, like so-and-so has died. This is that. That's basically a gag lifted from Mystery Men because the one guy wants to find an arch nemesis to fight. All of the arch nemesis are either locked up or dead or eaten by sharks. I don't know, man.
Well, let's carry that into our final thoughts then. Chad, won't you start, please?
Going into this cold, not knowing shit about Critical Role, you know, the only reason I hopped onto this is because it was tied to D&D. I grew up playing video games and I love RPGs. Once I figured out Dungeons & Dragons was basically a live-action RPG, fuck, I'm in. Legend of Vox Machina. Animation is slick, it's gory, it's humorous, it's grotesque. A group of friends, you know, going through a hellish campaign. And I loved it. The fact that they're already greenlit for a season 2, you can take that however you want. A lot of things get greenlit before people, you know, have an opinion on it. But in this case, I think it's a really good idea. I recommend it to any, you know, animation fans, even if you're not into D&D. I feel like this is still a good story if you like that, you know, ultra-violence mixed in with dark humor. I feel like it's perfect. That being said, I'll give The Legend of Vox Machina... I'm going to go 9. I'm going to do 9 out of 10 Scanlan guitar solos.
Very nice. Atessa!
Oh, shit. I'm up. Come, I'll tell you a tale of an Amazon series review. We judge on a scale of 1 to 10 here in the One of Us crew. So sit on back and give a listen as we discuss elves and dragons. Our eyes, will they glisten? Or is this a stinker that Nathan proclaims is an underappreciated thinker? I will definitely be watching this again. I hadn't listened to Critical Role all the way through, but I'm going to delve into that a bit more now. At work as I am filing things. That's when I listen to my podcasts. It's really well-rounded. The voice acting is great. The characters are great. I mean, some of the things are a little tropey, but, you know, that's kind of what happens with D&D sometimes. One of the things I really appreciate about the series was they didn't really hold back on how much random people die. There'd be like an opening and you're like, oh, this is going to be fine. Nope. Don't get attached to anyone. Just don't do it. it's pretty ruthless, and I kind of appreciate that a little bit. I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10 ooh, gross healing mud with a bunch of spit in it.
All right, Ben.
Yeah, I've explained probably too much how much I know this part of the campaign and really loved Critical Role and Vox Machina back in the day. I mean, this is the much more digestible way to watch it, and it does it so well. Like, look, you still get the D&D feel. You still get this great party that is so well acted and, versed out. And you still have so much more they can do. I mean, honestly, again, they pretty much concisely put together, looks like about 12 episodes of 4 hours long into 13, 30-minute episodes. That works great. That works great for a cartoon. Like, they can do that. You know, there's stuff that had to be left out, stuff that can probably get bumped forward a little bit. I know for a fact, and a lot of, long-term fans will agree with me on this, like, thing I'm looking forward to is a character they had to drop from just before this, which is Victor, one of the best characters Matt Mercer ever made. He's a crazy black powder merchant. It's the best thing in the world. At least he doesn't fit in this narrative structure of this version of the show until after this point, and I get that. So, fans, give it the chance. Don't be the nerd who's going, they dropped that. I'm sad. I missed that character. This was better. Watch this. If you're a D&D fan in general, watch this. Like, if you're just bored and want some kind of some dark adult fantasy, like, the only other one I can think of is what's that terrible one with the one I think is terrible? Whatever. Disenchanted? Watch this. This is much better. This is much better. It's much darker, more mature. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 times you still come after your mate turns into a Cronenberg monster trying to eat you.
So I also enjoyed this very much. Obviously, I gushed about this early. Came early. Haha, Scanlan joke. Well, at least I finished. Anyways. It opens, one of the characters, as I said, states, why are we even hanging out together, guys? Like, what are we doing? And something like that can hook me, like, what's this then? Trouble in paradise? Friendships at, possibly an impasse? And then for the 12 episodes, we see whether they do or don't remain companions. And I'm not shocked at all to find out that these are all great friends in real life, because that shows through these wonderful performances. I didn't name drop Telsine Joff as Percival DeRolo. Such a badass name, too. And there's so much about that character. I could rave about this all day. I was taught how to play Dungeons & Dragons by a guy who now works on an oil rig and shoots coyotes for the government. So what? All are welcome to play this. He's the most badass dude I've ever met in my life. And he loves this type of game. Yeah, good luck out there if you're listening to this, Joe. I love you. I miss you. I'm going to give this one 9 out of 10 hours that I played Dungeons & Dragons until I was slain by an elf.
Did you have a backup character that was your character's name, Junior? Or his twin brother?
No, that's amazing, though. I like that.
I happen to also be a cleric and also his same size of
stats.
Armor.
That's so convenient.
Oh my gosh, it all transfers.